KLC. Mont Belvieu, Houston. ESPN 97.5. A Gal Media Station. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Twin Peaks on Kirby. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel and Barry from Twin Peaks, 59 in Kirby. Nick back at headquarters. We're going to have Calvin Watkins, ESPN beat writer, joining us at 3:30 to talk about the Rockets, the wins, the Westbrook thing, and then just where they're going and how they're preparing for what looks to be the three seed going into the Western Conference playoffs. Part of that game was also a statement that came out of it from Patrick Beverley, who got a lot of love on the broadcast about being, after self-proclaiming the best defensive guard in the league. Mark Jackson, Van Gundy were both singing his praises on the broadcast. And then after that, he had plenty to say in regards to what we've been talking about here on the show for the last week or so, which is the whole topic of resting and superstars resting, whether it's a national TV game or otherwise. And Nick caught up with him after the game, and here's what he had to say.
I think that that's a disgrace to this league. I think that fans deserve better. I can care less about coaches ask players to rest or not. It's up to you to play or not. And if you don't, then you're disrespecting the game. And I don't believe in disrespecting the game because it was a time where, you know, I wasn't playing in the NBA and I was trying to get here. So me resting is, I feel like it's disrespecting me, disrespecting the name on the front of the jersey, and disrespecting the name on the back of the jersey.
Excuse me. I think that's good stuff from Pat Bev. He also just flat out said it's BS. But look, I mean, we had McHale talk about it. We had a lot of people talk about it. It's just this whole millennial NBA thing where you think that it's the right thing to do. And I just think, and I know, you know, you made the compelling argument that, look, there's no way around this. The league can try and enforce it all they want, but, you know, you can go and, you know, a guy can be in the starting lineup because it's mandatory and you know, tweak the big toe in the first quarter and sit down. But it's tough because the fans suffer. But I think I like what Pat had to say overall because it's kind of where I was coming from, where if you're disrespecting the game, especially a guy like that that's worked so hard, played in Russia, played all over the Ukraine, just to try and get an opportunity like he's got now, it makes a lot of sense in terms of appreciate, you know, those that paved the way and the fact that once you get there, don't take it for granted.
Well, that's just, I think his point is a good one in that, you know, he wasn't a superstar coming into the league. He didn't have everything handed to him. He wasn't a first-round draft pick that, you know, got to start right away. Or you know, the LeBron Jameses of the world have a different perspective on rest than the Pat Beverleys of the world do. And I think guys like LeBron can appreciate a night off every now and then. But a guy like Pat Bev knows that my job, even, you know, I have a guaranteed contract now, but I had to earn that. And part of earning that was going out there every day and hustling. And, you know, but it's kind of part of his DNA, too. You know, I'm not saying LeBron doesn't hustle, but you just feel like there's a different vibe that those two guys give off.
I think,
you know,
there's a bigger chip on Pat Bev's shoulder, and it's always going to be there. Whereas, you know, LeBron might have come in with that chip, but I think based on other chips that he's won and put in his back pocket and the contracts and everything else, I think he's got a different perspective than he might have had when he first came in the league.
That's what I mean. Like, you know, Bev has always had to fight for everything he has earned. You know, and LeBron was gifted in high school. And so it's a different perspective on playing and being in the league. And, you know, that it's, I'm not saying the haves versus the have-nots, because I don't think anybody's feeling sorry for Pat Bev's 5-year, $24 million contract. But he had to bust his ass to get it. You know,
no
LeBron
question.
Came out and was instantly a millionaire. So, I respect the hell out of what he says, and it doesn't surprise me in the least, because he seems like that's the kind of guy he is.
No, it's not just a feisty competitor on the court. I mean, look, take it a step further. Go back and when they were talking about when, you know, Westbrook and Beverly had beef because of the fact that when Beverly fouled him in the playoffs, Westbrook tore his knee up and missed. And they said, well, that was a missed opportunity for OKC because they maybe could have won it all that year. But when the death threat started coming in and everybody was coming at Pat Bev, he said, look, you think this is tough? You think this is a scary situation for me? He goes, try walking from where I lived to school and back every day in the rough and rugged neighborhoods of Chicago. He goes, that was scary. That was tough. And I think it's just, it's an overall mentality on life based on where he's from and what he's been through. You're right. I just think from LeBron, he's always been the golden child. He's always been the king. Everybody's always anointed him even before he won anything. So it's different. I just think it hurts the game. And whether you do where you can, you know, you can option out for another game on a national TV game, or you just say you guys can do that on home games because people have the ability to see you 41 times a year in the regular season. But it's tough when you play an Eastern Eastern Conference team only plays a Western Conference team one time in your city. And if the Cavs are coming here and everybody bought tickets in October and September because they wanted to see the Cavs, and then you get to the March and LeBron says, yeah, I'm not going to play.
But here's the problem, though. And I heard someone else bring this up, but it's true. No one really cared when it was Pop doing it. It was a look how smart he is. And I forget who the player was. Maybe it was LeBron. But he's like, when Pop was doing it, he was a genius. But now that everyone else is doing it, it's a problem. You know what I mean? Like, it's Tyronn Lue he's doing it to spite someone instead of just resting his stars like Pop did. And Pop has been doing this for years. So when you say it's a millennial thing, I disagree with it from that standpoint, because it's Pop, and he's been doing this. And this is, you know, I mean, for the last at least 5-6 years, I mean, back to when, you know, Duncan and even Robinson, would rest those guys.
Don't say people didn't care, because the league hated it. I mean, that's why he got fined substantially for doing it. And again, that's their only trip to Miami in a situation where it's a finals rematch. And the people in Miami that bought tickets for that game, they cared. I mean, there's a lot of people that cared.
But it's not a millennial thing.
It was an issue. As a league, it's a millennial thing. I think that the players playing in the game today don't have the same appreciation that players, say, even we'll go 10, 15 years ago, have, in terms of when you heard everything out of Charles Barkley's mouth, and he's still this way, and a lot of guys that played in that era, hey, we always want to reach out, appreciate, and pay homage to the guys that paved the way, whether it was a known superstar or just a guy that played in the league, because without them, there wouldn't be us. There wouldn't be these big paydays. There wouldn't be these opportunities. I don't think you see that as much. I think that a lot of these kids, especially because they don't have to endure even 4 years of college, they don't have to endure a lot of the hardships, because thanks to AAU, they're getting all these bonuses and all these money under the table and all these shoe deals and everything else that they get. By the time they get to the NBA, they just expect it. And I think that kind of feeling can roll over to where you kind of just you don't understand from a fan's perspective how much that can hurt.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't want to sit here and just talk in a circle, but I still don't think it's right to say that it's just a millennial thing when Pop has been doing it for years. That part I disagree with. The part about these guys wanting days off, is sure. And how much of that is coaching too, though, right? Like, how much of that is a smart coach saying, man, you know, I'm watching my star out here grind night in and night out, and I don't want him to be exhausted when the playoffs come, because that's a different grind, and it all gets turned up a level. I mean, I don't know that I would be upset if D'Antoni wanted to rest James Harden. That wouldn't hurt my feelings right now. That kid probably needs a rest.
Well, we talked about it on the air.
But I mean,
reduces minutes, if anything else. He does.
Yeah, let him, you know, I mean, you were up 25 last night, and he was still playing, and I get why, but again, How smart was that? You know, now they almost squandered the lead that they had. So Oklahoma City went on a run again and made it a game somewhat. I mean, they got within what, 9 or 10?
I think they got within nine at one point.
Yeah, but so I get that. But there's a time where you maybe could have extended that rest, start the fourth quarter to maybe half instead of bringing him in after 3 or 4 minutes. So you know, I'm with you it can be a problem. But how much?
That's when you said Tyronn Lue, that's the first thing that came to my mind is, you know, how is this, or and how much is it the general manager and management that's saying you need to do this too? Because look, the general managers have more power than ever before in terms of the day to day too. So they could be saying it. I don't know. I don't think Tyronn Lue ever wants to be without his star players. And I'm sure as a coach you want to win every game, but you also do understand if you've played 4 games in 5 nights, you might be a little bit more open to that. So but I think the general managers probably have a lot to say in situations like that, and say they're the ones that probably bring it to the forefront and say these guys need some rest.
Yeah. Okay.
So, all right. So we've got plenty more show to get to. We've got some callers that want to get in here on resting players. Calvin Watkins, by the way, reminder, 3:30 ESPN Rockets beat writer. We can even get him involved in the discussion in terms of talking about resting some of the superstar players. Nick, we got a, who's
you guys want to go to break? Or you want to take Chuck real quick?
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break, but just let us know. We'll get to your calls in just a minute, and we'll have much more of the usual suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
Drinking a German beer with a Cuban cigar in the middle of Paris with a Dominican.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Twin Peaks on Kirby. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to The Usual Suspects. Joel, Barry, and Nick from Twin Peaks. Got stuff to give away, so let's get to it. This prize, Houston Whiskey Festival tickets. I love whiskey. You can win two tickets to go to the 4th Annual Houston Whiskey Festival. It's this Saturday, April 1st from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the Bayou City Event Center. Tickets are still available. If you don't win, you can go to HoustonWhiskeyFestival.com to win them. HoustonWhiskeyFestival.com, or you can call 713-780-3776 and be caller number 10 and win two tickets to the Houston Whiskey Festival. 713-780-3776, caller 10.
There you have it. Good luck. As always, we try to have the gift that keeps on giving by having you have chances to win cool things like that. We've got some callers that have been waiting. Chuck in Beaumont wants to talk about resting players in the NBA. Chuck, welcome to the show. What's up?
What's up, guys? Love the show. Barry,
how you doing, man?
How's it going, Chuck? Hey, dude, that was fun. I was just giving you a hard time.
No, dude. Hey, man, I love you, AJ. I just don't want you to become another AJ. You know what I'm saying? All breaking stuff every day. You know? With
I hear you, man.
Front-running teams to support him. Hey, who you like? I like Golden State Warriors. That's a good one, AJ. You know, but hey, I just want to say, man, these guys are asked to perform 82 nights out of how many days in a year?
Yeah.
Last time I checked, 365.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, is it much of a stretch? If you're a comedian, if you got some headliner comes in and he says, hey, I want you to open my show in Houston. Then the day before, he says, ah, man, I need a rest. You're screwed. So what I'm saying. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, that's true, man. That's true. I mean, you're right that it's only 82 days or 82 nights out of the year. Some of them are back-to-back. So, you know, there's a lot more that goes into it. Obviously, these guys are practicing and on off days. But I'm certainly not feeling sorry for them, bro. Listen, if you paid me, you know, you used me being a comic as an example. If that headliner wanted me to make, you know, millions of dollars to open for him, hell yeah. You know, and I'm not going to be asking for any nights off in between either if I needed to hit the road and go with him for a year or whatever. So I'm with you, man. I think some of it is just them being spoiled and you know. But, dude, it's a grind. And I'm not even an NBA guy, but I can tell you, I can't imagine the stuff that those guys go through, you know, not just the games themselves and what happens to their bodies.
I've traveled with them for years.
Look how James Harden gets beat up on a night-in and night-out basis. But, it's you know, I have no problem with resting these guys. I think the part that I, you know, disagree with everyone on is trying to regulate it to stop it. You're not going to. It's just not going to happen. So you might as well just, you know, I mean, we can bitch about it all we want, but at the end of the day, these coaches and these players are going to figure it out if that's what they want to do.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've traveled it, and everybody says, well, you got a private plane, and you've got five-star hotels. But, you know, I'll tell you that if you're doing a back-to-back Boston and Toronto, and you get out of Boston, and then if there's snow or bad weather, you may get into Toronto at 3 or 4 in the morning.
Yep.
And you get your bags, and you can say, oh, you fall right asleep, or you're sleeping on the plane. No, and then you get your bags, they wake you up again. And then you try and sleep during the day. But even if you don't have shoot-around, which on a back-to-back they don't, they have a mandatory team breakfast. They try and push that back a little, but you got to be up for that. They do a film session. You know, it's not like you've got your own bed, and you're chilling out, and everything's all good in the world, and everybody's waiting on you hand and foot. And then you got to go and play another game right after that. So, you know, the 4-5 nights they're trying to do away with as well. But, again, the guys before them, you know, they found a way to have to do the same grueling schedule and do it with commercial flights and everything else. And so you're going to hear a lot of the older people that are going to say, too, exactly what Chuck just said, which is you're only working, you know, 90-some-odd dates a year if you're lucky enough to play 105 games. But, you know, if that was your real job and you're, you know, a blue-collar worker, you're grinding it out every day, too, and you're showing up for work every day or you don't have a job.
Look at us. We work 5 days a week, but we work 3 hours a day.
And we do prep and things like that, but sure, it's not.
Well, I mean, come on now. I do prep in my underwear on the couch.
I don't need to know that.
Like,
I mean, I thought you
looking
were trying
at the
to get
laptop.
A mortgage rate for a house doing that.
No, well, I could do that, too. But, yeah, I mean, you know, our job is not that difficult from that standpoint. We're not out like a 40-hour-a-week guy working at something like that. But there's certain things I think that in every job that gets tiring. I mean, I could tell you that, you know, doing certain things, even in radio, you can get tired. You get I mean, you know, and this isn't physical. I imagine when you're playing a physical sport, no matter what it is, it gets exhausting. It gets tired.
I mean, but again, too, the other thing that people are realizing on the flip side of all that traveling stuff is one of the guys that's really busting it and playing every single game. But look, all these guys, you look at the minutes and you look at, and you're a numbers guy, and we'll look at and pull up most minutes played in the league. And you look at the guys that are playing the most minutes, and LeBron is one of those guys. James Harden, one of those guys. Westbrook, one of those guys. So, and in the case of Cleveland trying to win a championship, you know, every year, if Kevin Love is injury prone, they're going to give Kevin Love some rest. If Kyrie Irving was the main reason why when he got hurt they lost that first finals to the Cavs, probably going to get some rest. You hate it? I the more I've thought about it, too, you're absolutely right that I don't know there's any way to police it. Even Mikhail said, you want to, you can try to, I just don't think you're going to be able to, because to the point in the analogy that someone made to me, similar to you with, you know, opening up for someone in comedy, is you buy tickets to a show and you buy it for a band, and when you buy it, everything's fine and dandy, and then when you get closer to that show, you find out that either the bass player or the lead singer or someone can't perform. If the show goes on, you feel like you got screwed.
Yeah. The most minutes in the NBA right now, Andrew Wiggins. And second is James Harden. LeBron James all the way down at 14. Trevor Ariza is 8th.
Now, is that average played when he plays?
This is total minutes.
Okay, so the total minutes will go down because there were several games that he's had off, too.
So, yeah, LeBron James has played in 66 games. Total minutes is 24. Per game, they're right there, 37. I mean, you can't really do it per game because it's Lowry's is askewed a bit because he's only played in 56 games, but he's averaging 37.7, which is the most. James is second. Wiggins third. Butler and Towns tied for fourth.
That's what I mean.
Wall and Harden tied for sixth. So
I would look at you know, average minutes per game too, and I would bet that.
But it's actual minutes that I would look at because of the pounding. Like, if you can look at averages, but if you only played in two games and played all 48, you know, 48 minutes, that's one thing. Your
saying,
minutes per game is
indicative
up. Indicative
of why too that you'd give LeBron a day off is because when he does play, he's playing massive minutes for his team too. So I mean, you can factor that in. There's a million ways to go around and look at it and try and weigh in and say, well, this factors in, that factors in. I mean, look, James Harden is the guy that for those reasons, he should get more credit than he's getting, because I love the fact that if he said nothing else this year, when he said, look, I love the game of basketball, this is what I'm paid to do, and until you know, there's time to rest when I'm done playing. That's that blue collar attitude.
Harden has played in 73 games, and he's, you know, like I said, he's averaging 36.5 minutes, so I mean, what worries me about Harden right now is you look at the end of the game last night and he hurt his wrist again, and now would be a perfect time to rest him. You know there's an injury.
Sure.
He's played in 73 games already this year. You're not in danger at this point of being caught by the Jazz. Why not rest this guy? I know it's Golden State, but guess what? You're not catching the Warriors. Why run James Harden back out there again?
He says it's on him. He says Mike D'Antoni.
But he's got a sprained wrist?
No, yeah, he's got tape all over it.
So why run him back out there against the Warriors? You know what I mean?
Well,
now, you know, yes, I get he's hurt. He needs the rest. He's been banged up.
But if he doesn't want to sit,
it flies in the face of everything. Yeah, but it flies in the face of everything that we just got done talking about. When guys may actually need a break, they might need a rest, and this might be one of those times. He's hurt.
I don't disagree with you, but I've seen those situations go down. And if a player, and it's more rare these days, but if a player says, that's fine, but I'm not sitting. And if you're chasing other things, if you got bigger dreams, if they're for one reason or another, you're not going to sit. That's a tough call because, you know, now you're gonna piss off a player that is part of your franchise that you're basing your future on. And if you say you should sit and he says I'm not, now you get some contentious moments that could affect you going forward.
Look, that's fine. If the medical staff comes to him and says you really need to take a night off, he needs to take the night off. He needs to do what his boss is telling him to do.
Don't disagree, but also know that there is. I've seen the pushback, and it's not fun. You know, if you're a trainer that's 5'4", or a doctor that's trying to tell him you're going to sit tomorrow night, and he comes at you with some attitude, you don't want to be in the middle of that. So we'll see.
Right.
Calvin Watkins can talk about it. He's ESPN's beat writer. He'll be joining us next at 3:30, and we'll talk about all things Rockets with Calvin Watkins. If you have questions for Calvin, you can hit us up on Twitter or give us a call, 713-780-ESPN. We are the Usual Suspects. This is ESPN
97.5. ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Twin Peaks on Kirby. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel and Barry from Twin Peaks 59 in Kirby. Nick back at headquarters. Joined now by ESPN beat writer Calvin Watkins. And Calvin, we always appreciate the time, and thanks so much for joining us. I guess first and foremost, we were talking about the rest topic that seems to be taking the league by storm and different people with different perspectives. Obviously, Pat Bev had a different perspective, but Barry brings up the fact Harden really has been dinged up. His left wrist has been taped up the last couple games. What was the conversation post-game about maybe, if nothing else, reducing his minutes down the stretch? Because it looks like they're going to be firmly planted in the three spot.
Yeah, you know, I asked D'Antoni about that yesterday. You know, later in the season, do you want to reduce some minutes? He said it's a possibility, but he also said it might be kind of hard because these guys want to play. Harden wants to play. Trevor Ariza wants to play. I mean, Ariza's in the top 10 in minutes, too. Pat Beverly, you know, he wants to play. So I would think at the end of the day, the Rockets will reduce some minutes. But it's not going to happen now. It might happen, I would assume, in maybe the last week and a half of the season.
I saw a couple of hours ago, Calvin, you posted that Harden's left wrist, with the left wrist injury, he's still going to practice today for the Rockets. What are your thoughts on him playing in the Warriors game? You think he's going to practice and play?
Oh, yeah, he's not missing no game. I mean, he's going to play. I don't think the Warriors game is an issue. The Rockets, I don't think, practice no more than an hour and a half today. They don't practice long. I mean, when they get on the floor, they do the calisthenics and those kinds of things. They look at some film, they talk about some things, and they get up and down just a little bit, not full speed, 5-on-0, and that's it. It's not back in the 70s when they were running around, you know, full court, 5-on-5. It's just a totally different atmosphere now in terms of practice. So, but James will play tomorrow against the Warriors. I think he's going to play all week unless something happens dramatically with that wrist.
Look at that game tomorrow night. Golden State's still not at full strength, but they've beaten the Warriors in Oakland once. But how important is that game as a barometer for this team as they go forward? And I guess secondarily, will Anderson play in? And are you starting to get a little concerned about his health coming down the stretch here?
Well, I do think the fact that they will play him twice this week is important because they've all said we have the best lineup that can beat them. Okay, well, now you got two times to do it. So I think they need to at least get a split of these two games with the Warriors. Yeah, they won't have Ryan Anderson to maybe the last week or so of the season. But the fact is, they have Lou Williams, who played fantastic yesterday against the Thunder. Eric Gordon also played well. I think he's shooting like 33% from the field against the Warriors in those two games.
But you know, it's important for the Rockets to kind of establish themselves and say, hey, we can beat you more than one time during the regular season.
Hey, Calvin, tell me something, man. We've talked about it on this show quite a bit, and Joel and I have both been wondering throughout the year, what's the deal with Montrezl Harrell not getting the kind of reps and minutes that I think most of us see and expect him to be getting? Is there something going on that maybe we're not aware of?
No, you know, they moved Montrezl to the center position. And so he's behind Clint Capella and Nene. D'Antoni likes Montrezl Harrell. He wants to play him, but D'Antoni has a very tight rotation. He doesn't trust a lot of young players. You know, if you remember at training camp, we all thought Clint Capella was going to be the starting center, and D'Antoni was talking about, well, Nene is a veteran. I might start him too. And then Capella had to convince D'Antoni that he could become a starter. Harrell is just strictly a center. They're not going to put him at power forward unless it's some extreme circumstances. He's not in the doghouse. They like what he could do. It's just a numbers game with the two other centers that are ahead of him. Now, I do expect as we progress towards the end of this regular season that Montrezl Harrell would get some more playing time. But for right now, he's going to be, you know, he's going to sit the bench unless Nene gets a day off and then they'll play Montrezl. But for right now, he's sitting down.
Do you, Calvin, see that small lineup that he started yesterday? He put Gordon in there instead of Anderson. But do you see at times down the stretch, too, especially when they try and mix things up and they know that they're going to have to get contributions from both Lou Williams and Eric Gordon, that they might even go smaller? And do you ever foresee a time on the court where you see Harden with Lou and Eric Gordon and maybe others when they go hyper-small, kind of like Golden State's lineup when they use Draymond at the five?
Yeah, I can see that. I can definitely see that. You know, the Rockets are what they are. They're not going to get a seven-footer, you know, off the street. This is not going to happen. But when they do go small and guys are hitting their shots like you saw yesterday, they're a very difficult team to defend. Now, the flip side is they can't really rebound as well because they're a lot smaller. It's what it is. But they do believe that they're a quicker team. They're a more efficient team offensively, and they can get back better in transition on the defensive end with the smaller lineup. So this lineup can go smaller. They have no problem with Harden guarding fours. Obviously, Trevor Ariza has guarded fours for the majority of the season. But this is what it is. And, you know, they can't change the roster too dramatically right now. And even if they wanted to, D'Antoni would stop them. So this is it.
Calvin Watkins joins us on The Usual Suspects. Calvin, speaking of guarding fours, why am I seeing James Harden guarding the four on occasion? What's the mindset behind that?
I think sometimes when they switch defensively, as you know, when they switch, you got to guard somebody, and that's who James has. Yesterday, he had Taj Gibson. James is a thick guy, so he's got a good strong base. So if a power forward goes into the post, they like their chances with Harden on the post of certain power forwards. He's got quick enough hands where he could swipe at balls and try to get a steal. And plus, he's closer to the rim. And when there's a missed shot, he gets the ball, and boom, off to the races they go.
Calvin, is there? Barry and I have been going back and forth on this, and trying to identify, you know, like in the Greg Popovich philosophy of, you know, trying to get the right matchups. Now, as you look at playoff season,
yeah.
Are there teams that you definitely think the Rockets want to avoid if possible? We identified Utah as a team that could give them some problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Memphis, because if they really play, grind it out, and they win the battle of which tempo you're going to play, that could be tough.
You know, I would say the biggest problem for the Rockets, well, the biggest matchup issue for the Rockets, I think, is San Antonio. But I think they can handle Memphis. I think they've kind of solved Memphis. Yeah, Memphis can grind it out. I don't think Memphis can score with the Rockets. OKC, what you saw in that first half is the Rockets at its best offensively, and they were pretty good defensively until Russell took over in the last 16 minutes of the game or whatever it was. They can handle OKC. They can handle Memphis. Utah, I agree with you, gives them some problems, but the Jazz has some health issues, so I don't know how good Utah will be. I think they can beat the Clippers pretty easily. But the two teams I think that will give them the biggest problems is San Antonio and Golden State. And the Rockets feel like they match up well with Golden State. Is that the Spurs have those bigs. They have Kawhi Leonard, who's a fantastic scorer, and they got LaMarcus Aldridge, who beats up Ryan Anderson in the post. So those two teams, to me, are the biggest challenges for the Rockies.
All right, I'm going to ask you to predict the future here, Calvin. Nine games to go.
The future? Okay.
Yeah, they're in the three spot. Right now they'd be facing the Oklahoma City Thunder. Who's their opening round matchup when it all settles in, and how far do they get in the playoffs?
You want my personal pick or what I think is going to happen?
What you think is going to happen?
Oh, okay.
You can do both. Do both if they're different.
Okay, do both? Okay, yeah, it's different. My personal pick is I want to go to Memphis because, you know, you can get out and have a good meal after the game or whatever at Memphis, music. But I think realistically, as a journalist, I think I still am a journalist, they will play OKC in the first round. And I do believe the Rockets can get to the Western Conference Finals. I think that's realistic for them. A lot of people have underestimated the Rockets all year. Harden has just been outstanding, as you guys know. The weapons they have around them, when they're at its best, they're a hard team to defend. But I think they can get to the conference finals and play Golden State. I think Golden State will still beat them. It wouldn't surprise me if San Antonio knocks them off in the second round, but I think they can get to at least in the conference finals this year.
Well, Calvin, we appreciate it. I know you got a busy schedule, especially this time of the year, so thanks for spending some time with us, and keep delivering all those great nuggets that we get from you along the way as you continue to follow this team through the end of however far they go in the playoffs.
Thanks, man. You take it easy.
Calvin Watkins been our guest, ESPN beat reporter. You can follow him on Twitter. He's a great follow. He gives you a lot of information. He'd probably give you the information that we're seeing right now. Rockets guard James Harden just named Western Conference Player of the Week, averaging 33 points, 13.3 assists, 6.3 rebounds, two steals in a 3-0 undefeated week for your Houston Rockets. So the beard, once again, Player of the Week, just another indication he is the most valuable player in the NBA this year, in, I think, both of our opinion. All right, so we still have plenty more show to get to. Coming back, we are going to get to the outtakes from Juggalo Trey and Full Metal Jacket, so that should be fun. And then if we've got a couple calls still holding, we will get to you guys. And or if you want to join us in the last segment, 713-780-ESPN, or hit us up on Twitter. We are the usual suspect. This is ESPN 97.5.
You know who it is.
This is Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Twin Peaks on Kirby. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel and Barry wrapping things up. Twin Peaks 59 and Kirby. Tomorrow we are allowed to be at the I-10 and Kirkwood Twin Peaks location. So if you got nothing to do for lunch, come on out and see us. Spend some time with the usual suspects. Hang out with us. The promotional crew will be there with T-shirts and goodies and all kinds of stuff. And as always, the unofficial member of our team that contributes in so many ways, Juggalo Trey, with another one of his movie moments today.
Yeah, it was a good one. The feedback from it, a lot of, you know, texts and tweets about Radio Gold and best one yet, and which is saying something, because the training day one was going to be tough to beat. We started off kind of with the pinnacle, and I was worried we would never be able to get back to that.
I think today was the best one.
But I think today, you know, started the trend back up again a little bit. So, but we promised you guys that we would have the outtakes from that. So without further ado, here's when it didn't go so well getting the Monday movie moments with Trey put together.
Does this microphone work?
So do what you would think. And just read that first paragraph up to where it says recruit. But as the way you think a drill sergeant sounds.
You want me to say it now, like as a drill sergeant?
That's what I just said.
Okay.
I literally just said those exact words.
Okay.
To you, out of okay. My mouth.
Okay, great. Got it. Is this like where he says, I bet you could suck a golf ball through a garden hose?
Yeah.
Just so everybody knows, I have no problems with gays. I don't want any issues with the homosexuals. I wouldn't shower with another man, but, you know, just no offense to gays and this who listen to this. Sir, yes, sir.
But until then, you were pukes. You were the lowest form of life on Earth. You were not even human beings. You were nothing but unorganized, grabastic pieces of amphibian sh**. Amphibian sh**. Amphibian sh**. Amphibian sh**. Amphibian sh**. And my orders are to weed out all the non-hackers who do not pack their gear to survive, and my beloved corpse. Do you maggots understand that?
Core, not corpse.
It says corpse.
No, it's core, bro.
Is the S
core.
Silent?
Yes.
Is the P silent?
It's core, yeah. Like you're doing a core workout. Like you're working on your core.
I don't know what that is.
Hell, I like you. You can come over to my house and f*** my sister.
Just so anybody knows, I don't have any problems with people f*** sisters and all that.
Really? You're good? You're yeah. good? You're, hold on, you're good with them?
Wait a second, hold on. I didn't say that right in my head.
That's exactly what you said.
I just... This yeah, you're right. Don't record that.
Is that you, John Wayne? Is this me?
From now on, you will speak only when spoken to.
Yeah, your drill sergeant is on point, sir.
I know. On fleek.
Okay, we're not going to do that.
Yeah, that. Anybody that says on fleek...
You just said it.
Look, except me. I can say whatever I want.
Oh,
anybody
yeah, you're
else.
Dyslexic.
I'm dyslexic.
Sir, no, sir.
Oh, God.
So, did you tell him now that these are going to also be, like, that he's being recorded for the outtakes?
No, and we did that on purpose because if we would have told him that we were running the mics hot the whole time, Trey would not have been himself. He would have tried to ratchet it up or change the way he normally is, which makes him so funny. Yeah, he would have changed all that. So Michael Carroll and I did not tell him that the mics were hot because we wanted to.
But the way he was talking to you guys was like the whole time he was like on. Like he
yes.
knew that he was being recorded. Hey,
nope.
Don't.
Nope. He had no clue about it. And that's why he was like contradicting what he was saying and then. Oh, yeah. Like, he knew as he was reading, but then on some of that stuff, he wasn't aware that we were, you know. He would think Michael Carroll would stop it, because then he'd be like, okay, are we ready? And we'd be like, yeah, you can go again. So
I love all the public service announcements. I don't have anything
yeah.
against the gays.
I have no problem with people sleeping with my sister. Wait a minute. Wait. No, that's not what I meant. That sounded better in my head. That's beautiful. And then my favorite was when he said corpse.
Yes.
My beloved corpse. And then I had to – it took a while for him to understand that it's core and not corpse.
But you were drilling him like a drill sergeant.
I have to, bro. You don't understand. Getting in there with him and trying to get some stuff done. Like I would set up – I would – Michael Carroll, you know, has this little station in the studio. And so right. I would say, okay, we're going to do the scene from Full Metal Jacket, Trey. So I want you to watch it. And he'd be like, okay. And so we would turn the video on and I would look over and he's looking out the window – or he'd be looking at the floor, and I would be like, Trey, you got to focus. He'd be like, oh, yeah, 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 I'm focused. And then he'd go, man, this is a great view. I'm like, Trey, watch the video. He'd be like, oh, I'm watching. I'm totally watching. This is nice studio. And I'm like, dude, you're killing me.
You got to get Trey some blinders.
Like, yeah, he's like a horse. Like, yeah. you literally got to put blinders on him. Or just, I don't know, an ADD pill. I have no idea what the kid needs. He needs something for focus.
And my beloved corpse.
I'm telling you, y'all have made him a star, though.
Oh, I mean, my God.
People just love this. Like I said, I think this week's was the best one yet.
So, okay, good.
And they're going to continue to come in, and you got more movies. We keep getting ideas for movies all the time. So as long as Trey finds a way to keep showing up for work.
Chris and Beaumont said, Trey mispronouncing every word in that movie is radio gold. Like, yeah, that one took forever to get recorded. And I got to tell you, Michael Carroll impressed the hell out of me. By mixing in
yes,
the movie?
Yes, for sure.
I was certainly not expecting it to sound that good. It flowed like it was so, yeah. We got some great folks here. You and I, we get to bask in the glory of what everyone else is doing, but, I mean, we don't get all the credit for a lot. That was great stuff, man.
No, and Michael Carroll's a genius because he just talked about that like a week ago. Like, hey, what do you guys think about putting in the actual movie sound to go around with Trey's parts? We're like, yeah. And
yeah.
You're thinking, that's going to take some time. And then, boom, next movie, and it's all there.
Yep.
Just fantastic.
Yeah,
so,
man.
That's really good stuff, and hopefully you guys like it. And, if again, as always, you can always reach out to us on Twitter. So if you have ideas for movies and movie scenes and one comes to mind that would be Vintage Trey, please let us know. At Barry is funny, at the producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Andreas, your privileges have been revoked after that earlier thing with just giving headsets to just about anybody.
Yeah. And, so, and despite what John Granato was saying earlier, it should be known that Fred and AJ will not be here at the Twin Peaks on Kirby today. I don't know if he corrected that after I came inside, but on my drive down here, he was telling people that Fred and AJ would be here today, and that's not the case. It, Joel and myself were here today, and that's it. And it will only be you and me at the Twin Peaks on Kirkwood tomorrow.
Right.
So don't let John Granato lie to you just because he's doesn't have all the information and is disorganized.
We got the Bentley of this week, the Rolls Royce, so to speak.
Oh, of course. I mean, they treat us like royalty.
Yeah, screw spring training with Granato, Salisbury, and Raheel.
Yeah, those guys.
Who cares
yeah.
about Final Four with Fred and AJ?
In Phoenix, we get to go to Twin Kirkwood, Peaks, baby.
Yeah.
We get to hang out at Kirby. I really feel like they love us the most. I really do. I think that they're like, you know what you're going to do? You're going to go help baby Dwight get laid at a Kirby location. That's what you're going to do.
And if it doesn't work, you're going to try a different location the next day until we've exhausted every Twin Peaks in the region, not just the city, but the region to try and get Drew off the schneid.
Yeah.
That's And then, by the way, if all else fails, you just go out to the Houston Open on Thursday and see how that tracks.
You know, I am kind of looking forward to that. I'm not going to lie.
Doing, it's fun out there.
I've never been to the show Houston Open. I've never
really?
Broadcasted live from there. I think it'll be fun. I'm just going to randomly yell four.
That's why I really wanted it to be on a Wednesday, because when the tournament starts on a Thursday and you pull that,
we're going to see a totally different effect. We're
going
to see how that goes. I'm going to yell four at one point just to see what happens.
And you're going to know how deadly accurate these guys can be with a club and a ball.
You think they're going to throw me out?
I think it would be discussed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, apparently we're in the craft beer tent. So if you have tickets to the Shell Houston Open, come by the craft beer tent or section or whatever the hell it is. Come by craft beer garden. Come by and say hi to us in the craft beer garden where they grow craft beer. I have no idea what the hell
too,
the craft
Drew?
Beer garden is.
Oh, we got Drew all week.
Drew's going to be there again? Ah, Jesus.
It's like babysitting all week. We got to just continually try and hold Drew's hand and get him off the schneid. It's a full-time job.
I need a day off, Coach. I need a day off. I can't. I'm exhausted. I can't do this.
All right, we're getting ready for the Blitz. Fred, AJ, John going to be next, so we want to make sure you are reminded that tomorrow we will be at Twin Peaks on I-10 and Kirkwood. Come out and see us. Otherwise, make sure you tune your radio each and every weekday, 1 to 4 p.m. to the usual suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
And my beloved corpse.
ESPN 97.5.